Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're going to be dealing with continued opposition to rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. And we already read in previous chapters that Nehemiah already faced opposition by the same guys, Tobiah and Sanballat. You got to understand that the enemy will continue to attack you relentlessly. And if you don't make up your mind to serve God and to get filled with the power of God, Satan will destroy your life. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. You turn on the TV, that's what you see. Stealing all over the place. Killing, murders, and destroying families, destroying marriages, destroying the youth, destroying this young generation, destroying everything because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're not filled with the power of God, the power of Satan would tear you apart. There's only two great powers that are moving upon the face of the earth. The power of the devil, which comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And those who are not saved are destroyed by the devil. They're slaves to sin. It's a great power of darkness that moves upon the land. And then there's also the power of the Holy Spirit that all those who surrender to him, he sets them free and liberates them. You have to escape the trap and the snares of the devil and come to Jesus Christ so that he can set you free. Everyone in this room are either under those two powers. You are either under the power of the devil, which means that you're still sinning, that you're still messing around, that you're still holding on to your own life. In other words, the power of sin still controls you. Or you're under the power of God, that you can say, I have been free, I have been sanctified, I'm filled with God's Holy Spirit. You might get tempted here and there, but you know what? The power of the Holy Spirit gives you the energy to resist every temptation and every lie of the devil. Every believer, in God's eyes, God's goal is for every believer to walk in 100% freedom. Not that you'll never get tempted, but that you have power over sin. That lust no longer controls your life. And if you're struggling with lust, you are bound by the devil. You don't have control over this thing unless you turn it to God. If you don't turn it to God, Satan will have a field day with you because he is powerful. But there's someone that is greater than the devil, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you, the believer, authority to trample over the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice because the demons listen to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That is the greatest thing for any believer, that your name is written in heaven. We have power over the devil. That's the least thing Jesus said. The greatest thing is that we have a place in the kingdom of God. Let me move on to Nehemiah. Starting at verse 1, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I have finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remain. It took them 52 days to finish this wall, though we had not yet hung the doors in the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but I realized that they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them: I am doing a great work. I cannot stop to come and meet with you. So what Sanballat and Geshem wanted to do was to meet with Nehemiah privately. They wanted to isolate him so that they can harm him. Satan works in isolation. As long as you remain by yourself, Satan is there by your side. As long as you stay connected to the body of Christ, you are safe. And that's why Paul said to a man that was sleeping with his stepmother in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, look, this guy doesn't want to repent. Hand him over to Satan so that his body could be destroyed and hopefully he can get saved. What Paul meant by that was that disassociate him from the body of Christ. Don't let him come into your worship service. And once the covering of God is off for him, the devil will have a field day with him. There is power in staying connected under the blessing of God, under the anointing of God. And Satan will always try to isolate you, staying by yourself. No one understands me. No one knows what I'm going through. No one, the people will judge me. They'll see me different. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Satan works in isolation. Everyone that has backslidden, they start by not attending church. And then they stop going to prayer meetings. They stop slacking here and there. And before you know it, there's demons all over and they're doing the same thing they used to do, but with a greater intensity. Because Jesus said when the devil comes out of a person, he goes to dry places looking for rest and he finds none. Then the demon says, I will return back to my house. The devil takes ownership. He likes people's bodies. He says, my house with seven other demons more wicked than himself. And they go in and live there if the person's backslidden. And that final condition of that man is worse than the first, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is not our friend. If you're messing with sin in your life, Satan is right there controlling the whole situation. And you need freedom today by the power of the Holy Spirit. They try to isolate Nehemiah, but he had the wisdom of God. He was a man of prayer. He knew that if he went over there to meet with them, they were trying to get him to compromise. But he realized they were planning to harm me. They were plotting. They said, if we can get this guy from stopping from building the wall, if we can get him from doing what God has called them to do just for a minute, we can destroy him. You got to be careful with what? Distractions. Things that would take you away from the things of God. On Sunday, I have nothing to do but come to church. That is my main priority. If you throw a birthday party at the same time as the service, I won't be there. Doesn't matter if it's my family member, those closest to me, or you know, friends, I won't be there because this is my main priority. I can't allow a defeated devil to start distracting me here and there. And before you know it, I start slacking off in prayer and the things of God become cold to me and I become lukewarm. He is not your friend. He works in isolation. They were trying to get Nehemiah out of the position where God has called him, which was in Jerusalem, building the walls there. Has the enemy distracted you from what you know you're supposed to be doing? Have you been disobeying God by getting distracted with the things of this world? And if you have been, let me tell you right now, you are not serving God. You're under the power of the devil. You're under the power of sin. There's only two powers on this earth, the power of the devil and the power of God. There's no such thing that right now I don't want to serve God. You know, I'm just going to do my thing. I'm going to take it easy and slow. Guess what? The devil's right there behind you with all his demon spirits trying to destroy you, trying to put fear in your mind, trying to distract you, trying to get you away from the things of God. You know that Satan hates when you go to church. You know that he hates when you read your Bible. You know that he hates when you commune with God, because if he can cut off the power source, he knows that you're weak in yourself. Do everything except pray. Get involved in all these activities, but don't read the word, because you might find freedom. You might get delivered. You might get convicted. And I know people like that. They don't like reading the word because it convicts them. That's a good thing if you get convicted. That means God is drawing you closer to him. Don't allow the enemy to take you away from what you know God has called you to do. So I replied by sending this message to them. I am doing a great work. See, the enemy fears when you say, you know what, I'm going to start working for God. I'm going to do everything I can to serve my Lord. Whatever he wants me to do, I want to do it. He said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot stop to come and meet with you. The distractions of life. If you are a new believer, most of your distractions is with sin, tempting you with a female or a male, or tempting you to steal and things like that, carnal desires. That's the new believer. But if you're an old believer and you pray and you read your word and you seek God, the temptation is with good things that might not necessarily be from God, but you think is a good thing and you get distracted. Anything that robs your affection, your passion, your love, your zeal from God is a distraction. Every day you should be more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day you should be fired up in the Word of God. Anything that starts diminishing that, cut it off, even if it's a good thing. Because Satan is wise. He's slick. He's crafty. He comes as an angel of light, and people get distracted. Even if it's good things, they allow those distractions to take them away from the things of God. Stay focused praying. Stay focused reading the Word. Stay focused coming to church. Someone might get offended because you didn't show up in their birthday party. So what? Your soul is more important than anything in this world. Nourish your soul. Feed your spirit. Allow God to edify you, to build you up, to strengthen you, to energize you so that you can do what God has called you to do. Four times they sent me the same message. Does the devil give up? Four times the same message. Come meet with me. Stop the work and come meet with us. Four times. The fifth time, Sanballat's servants came with an open letter in his hand. Now, at that time, whenever you sent the letter, it had to be sealed because the only one that can read it was the person who the letter was addressed to. So here, it was an open letter, which means these guys had a plan that whoever takes the letter starts reading it and spreading rumors. And this is what it said. Gershom tells me that everywhere he goes, he hears that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are rebuilding the wall. According to his reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you have appointed prophets to prophesy about you in Jerusalem, saying, look, there is a king in Judah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king. So I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. Now he's trying to intimidate them. They're making up lies. They're saying, look, there's a report going around that you want to be king in Judah, and you even set up prophets to prophesy. This is the new king of Judah. If the king of Persia hears about this, you're going to be in trouble. And look at what Nehemiah says. My reply was, you know you are lying. There is no truth in any part of your story, because the devil will make up lies over your life to try to keep you bound. Jesus called them out. He says, Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. If you're looking for some truth in the devil, there is no truth in him. When he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And Nehemiah had enough wisdom to identify, you people are lying, making up stories to try to distract them from the things of God, making up lies over his life to try to discourage him and intimidate him. You got to make sure that you know when the enemy's lying to you. But if you're not in the Word, you're going to believe every single lie Satan throws your way. Because the only way you can counterattack a lie is by the truth of God's Word. If you don't get the truth of God's Word in you, whenever Satan lies to you, you're going to believe him. He's a master liar. Everyone that's a liar on this earth operates under the influence of demonic spirits. They're operating by their father, the devil. And that's why Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. You got to understand that the devil has children too. Not only God. There's God's children, the people of God that are saved, that are going to heaven, that love him. And then there's the children of the devil, those who are not saved, who love sin, that do any wicked thing, that lie and steal and deceive. Those are the children of the devil. But if you're here tonight and you're one of the children of the devil, you can come to Christ and he'll adopt you into his family and wash you in his blood and make you brand new and write your name in the book of life. He recognized this is a lie. That's all Satan has is lies and deception. He knows that Christ has won the victory already for our lives. But if he can lie to you and make you feel insignificant and make you feel unworthy and make you feel that nobody cares and make you feel that nobody loves you, that nobody understands you, that you're all by yourself, he's lying to you. And once you believe that lie, you start isolating yourself and withdrawing back. And then you find yourself doing things that you thought you would never do. That's why I never say, I would never do that. And judge other sinners, because you don't know. If you backslide, you don't know how far the devil will take you. Under the power of the devil, people are capable of doing the most horrific things. In the Old Testament, the Canaanites, under the power of the devil, were practicing bestiality. That's not human, but under demonic influence and filled with devils, a human being would do anything. because he has no control over that. And that's why we need Christ, so that we can be possessed by the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move upon our lives and keep us free from every demonic attack that comes our way. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. I want to touch on those two words, intimidate. To make timid or fearful, to compel or destroy by, or as if by threats. That's what intimidation is. That's what they were trying to do with Nehemiah, intimidating him by threats, making him fearful and timid. And sometimes it's a person that might intimidate you. Sometimes it's a thing that might intimidate you. Sometimes it's a goal that might intimidate you. Anything that intimidates you is not of God. You should not fear anybody. The only one that you should fear is God. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the only one you should fear. Don't let anybody intimidate you or threaten you. You have the boldness of Almighty God. You got God on your side. You have angels all around you. You have the Holy Spirit that gives you the energy to overcome every attack and every demonic spirit that Satan launches your way. Don't let the enemy intimidate you. Whether going back to school or a new career or accomplishing a goal or by using a particular person, don't let anybody intimidate you. Stand up as a man and a woman of God and say, I will not fear what can man do to me. The other word is discourage, to make someone less determined, hopeful, or confident. That's what discourage means. That person becomes less determined. They don't want to do what they know what God had called them to do. They don't have the confidence anymore because Satan has discouraged them. To make something less likely to happen. To try to make people not want to do something. So that's what discouragement means. People have goals and plans. All of a sudden, the devil and his demon spirits start speaking to their minds. You're not going to accomplish that. You don't have what it takes. And he tells you everything in the natural why it can't happen. But you got to understand that you serve a supernatural God. You serve a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, the silver and the gold is mine. Is anything too difficult for me? He told Sarah when she laughed that she was going to have a baby at the age of 90. He told Sarah, is anything too difficult for me? When Mary was about to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, the angel told her that which is impossible with men is possible with God, for all things are possible with God. Stop looking at the natural. The worst enemy that we have is our own natural eyes. We live by the natural, not knowing that everything from God is supernatural. That's why Paul the Apostle says, don't look at the things which are seen, because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Keep your eyes on that which is eternal. Everything else is going to pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. The Apostle Peter said, the elements of this earth will melt with fervent heat. Everything will be destroyed by fire. Don't allow your natural eyes to deceive you. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about Moses. How was he able to overcome? And it says that he rather suffered affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And he endured because he saw him who was invisible. That's who you have to see, him who is invisible. If your eyes are on him, you'll pass the pleasures of sin. You're able to endure. But if your eyes is on the problems, or on my circumstances, or on my finances, or on my house, or on my car, if your eyes is on that, you will start getting defeated. But if your eyes are kept on that which is invisible, which is Almighty God, you have the victory. You can't live by your five senses. There's a sixth sense, which is faith. And that comes from your spirit, that you read the word of God and you know that God is going to come through. Even though everything in the natural says it can't happen, you trust in that word and God's supernatural, invisible will come through for you. We have a lot of carnal, physical Christians living based on their senses, whatever they feel. If they feel like reading the word or praying or coming to church, it's an emotional-based Christianity that caters to people's emotions. I didn't get fed. I didn't feel anything. You need to get with God and allow God to fill you with His Holy Spirit and begin to live by your spirit instead of by your emotions and how you feel. The just shall live by faith. I love that. The just shall live by faith. Not by feelings, not by emotions, not by what I see, not by people don't like me at work, not by my family's not getting along. The just shall live by faith. So I continued the work with even greater determination. I love Nehemiah. With greater determination. The devil's attacking, we're going to hit him harder. You know, he attacked this way, they're trying to distract me. I continue with greater determination. Church, let's go forward. When the enemy attacks, we're going to attack back. We counterattack with the word of God. It's not a time to shrink back and get behind a corner and complain. Oh, how the devil hits me so hard. I wish Jesus would come back soon. Stop crying about your problems and use the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given you. All these defeated Christians whining about Jesus is taking too long. I want him to come too, but there's a lot of people that need to be saved. I got family members that if they die right now, they'll wake up in hell screaming for mercy. And there's nothing that I can do for them unless we pray and God intervenes and rescues them. People that want Jesus to come back now are the most selfish Christians on the earth. Because as long as they're saved, the hell with everybody else. That's not the love of God. I want them to come back too, but there's people that need the Lord. There's people that are lost. If Jesus would have came back 23 years ago, I would have stood behind, probably dead or in jail or burning in hell. Thank God that there were people praying for me, interceding and saying, Lord, save that young man. Have mercy upon him, Lord. And the mercy of God came upon me. Stop being selfish and begin to pray for people to get saved and God to use you. He continued the work with greater determination. When the enemy attacks, attack back. Fast and pray. Get with God. Get filled with the power of God. There's nothing greater than getting filled with the power of God through prayer and fasting. The devil can't stand when a Christian prays and fasts. Why? Because when you fast, you kill this stinking flesh. And when you fast, the power of God comes upon you so strong that demons have to go. And that's why in Mark chapter 9, when the disciples could not cast out the demon out of this young boy who was having epileptic seizures, Jesus cast it out. And then they asked him, why couldn't we cast it out? He said, because of your unbelief. However, this kind of demon does not go out except through prayer and fasting. There's some demons that are stubborn. They've been living inside a person so long that they don't want to leave. But you add a little fasting to it and they say, wait a minute, the power of God is coming apart. We got to get out of here. And that person gets liberated. There's power when you pray and fast. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was shut up in his home. He said, let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. So he goes to this priest's house. Obviously, the priest wanted him to meet with him. And this is what he tells him. Let's go to the temple of God and hide there because men are coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. In other words, it was a setup. They pay this guy to prophesy lies. But Nehemiah knew who he was as a man. A man in his position, should he run? And that's a message for all the men here in the church and in the world. Should a man like you run? There's a lot of men that are runners. They can't face circumstances and problems. The first little thing that comes up, they want to quit on their marriage. Any little thing that happens, I'm leaving this job. Should a man like me run away? We don't run away, people. We don't run away, church, men and women. We're not the type that run. We face difficult circumstances. Paul the Apostle said, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. We don't run. We stand there side by side, speaking the word of God, pushing the powers of darkness back and letting them know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We got to keep the devil under our feet where he belongs. Should a man like me run? Should a woman like you run? No. I will not go. I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. So now Sanballat and Tobiah are getting wiser. Now they're using spiritual things to try to distract Nehemiah, but Nehemiah had his own relationship with God. He was not supposed to go in the temple. Only the priests were able to go in the temple. There's somebody in the Old Testament that went in the temple and died. You're not supposed to touch the holy things of God. He said, how can I do this thing and hide in the temple? But he realized, wait a minute, this guy's speaking a prophecy that is contrary to the word of God. I can't be going into the temple when God's word forbids me. Why? Because Nehemiah was not a priest. He was a governor. Back in Persia, he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. And then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. In other words, everyone would say, where's that Nehemiah now? He's in the temple hiding, scared to death, intimidated, shaking. Where's this God now? He said, they wanted me to sin against God. And that's what the enemy does. Try to cause you to sin against God, and then everyone around you starts ridiculing you. I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. And sometimes, you know, they say that, you know, because we make mistakes. I'm not talking about that. But there's other times that they have the right to say, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. Because a Christian should live different than the sinner. The sinner lies, the Christian shouldn't lie. The sinner lusts with their eyes and commits adultery. The Christian shouldn't commit adultery and lust. The sinner steals, the Christian should not steal. There should be a difference. If you claiming that the power of the Holy Spirit is living inside you, there should be a change in your life. There should be power in your life to overcome sin. But if that person that's not a Christian is depressed and suicidal, and then the Christian says, you know what, I'm depressed and suicidal too. Let's go to a clinic, see if we can find help. What testimony is that? That's a bad name, and it discredits you as a Christian. Not that you don't go through difficulties. Not that you don't go through hard times. But if you're willfully sinning, please don't say you're a Christian. Rather say I'm the most disobedient, rebellious Christian there is. I should be following God, but I'm disobedient. I'm a rebel. I do my own thing. Tell people the truth. Don't profess to be a Christian and live a double life. People love honesty. Even if you're honest with them, I used to be, but I'm backsliding, I'm sleeping around, I'm doing this, I'm lying, I'm deceiving. You know, don't tell them you're a believer. Try to witness to them. Meanwhile, your whole testimony is discredited. They can bring shame to your name because you're claiming to be somebody you're not because of sinning. And that's what they wanted to do with Nehemiah. They was trying to discredit him. Nehemiah had a lot of influence in Jerusalem. God sent them there. Remember, as we're going through the book, he was in Persia in the palace, living lovely over there. He got a word from the Lord, direction, strategy. He was led by the Spirit of God to go to Jerusalem, help these people build the wall and the gates. He was sent by God there. And now they're trying to discredit him. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. So this guy Tobiah and Sanballat, they had a lot of influence too with the people of Judah. They hired even false prophets. And this woman, Noadiah, she was a false prophetess, prophesying to Nehemiah, trying to discourage him. And see, that's why you need to know the voice of God for yourself. Because I know a lot of Christians that have been given a word by another Christian and messed up their lives. God wants you in this country. They go running after that word without hearing from God. God wants you to marry this person. I remember a prophet one time came to our church, and he prophesied over my friend. He told him, next year you're going to be married. But he made a mistake. Why? The young man was 14 years old. But if he would have listened to that word, he would have been married. Because one of the greatest things of a new believer They want to please the Lord. Anything you tell them from the Bible, they believe it. God said that. I can't do this. All right, I'm getting rid of that. But once you become more mature in the Lord, now you try to get over on God and say, that doesn't apply to me, and I can get around that. A new believer believes everything that the Word of God says. They want to be obedient to the Word of God. Thank God my pastor pulled them aside and said, you know, you missed it on that word. You know, because I know a lot of prophets and Christians that have given people words that have sent them off in the wrong way. You have to know the voice of God for yourself. And this Nehemiah, among all these prophets, people prophesying, intimidation coming his way, but he knew God for himself. He knew that if God sent him there, why would he stop the work? Even though all the other prophets were prophesying different, even though this woman was prophesying to stop the work, to go see these people, he knew the voice of God for himself. You need to know the Word of God for yourself. You need to know what the Spirit is saying to you personally. I love personal prophecies, but the Bible says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. If someone gives you a word and it doesn't connect with you or it doesn't even make sense, don't believe that word, because God will be showing you first. The word would only be confirmation. For instance, if you have it in your heart, you know, to start a woman's ministry, and it's been in your heart and someone prophesies that, all they're doing is confirming what God has already been putting in your spirit. But don't let people send you all over the place. They'll have you running all over town. And there's people that run after prophecies. They're going to go see this person because they prophesied. They're going to go see this person because they gave me a word last week. I need a word. Don't become dependent upon the word of men. Trust in the Word of God. This never changes. It hasn't changed in thousands of years. The completion of the war. So on October 2nd, the war was finally finished. Just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. The key is to stay with what God has called you to do. He'll humiliate your enemies. He'll frighten the enemies. But if Nehemiah would have buckled and fallen for that and compromised, he would not allow God to work. So they were frightened and humiliated. They realized that this work had been done with what? With the help of our God. God is on our side. That's why Paul the Apostle said, God is for us. Who can be against us? He said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or famine or nakedness or trouble or sword? I believe that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And nothing shall by any means be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stay with God no matter how hard it gets. Stay with Jesus, the Master. Stay with the Messiah. No matter what distraction comes your way, stay looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us right now as I preach, as you sit there and the Holy Spirit begins to move upon your heart. Jesus is in the right hand interceding, saying, Father, touch that person. Father, bring that person to you. Father, convict that person. Father, draw them more. Father, I want them to have a relationship with me. He intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. This work has been done with the help of our God. During those 52 days, many letters went back and forth between Tobiah and the officials of Judah. So Tobiah had the officials of Judah brought because he was related to them through marriage. For many in Judah had sworn allegiance to him because of his father-in-law, Shechaniah, son of Ara, and because his son, Jehohanan, was married to the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. They kept telling me what a wonderful man Tobiah was, and then they told them everything I said. In other words, informers. Tobiah's a wonderful guy. You should accept him. Listen to what he says and all that. And Nehemiah would sit with them, chat with them and all that. This was going on. This is what God is doing. They would take it back to Tobiah. Informers in the camp of Israel. Their own people betray them. A lot of Judases in this position right here. Betraying their own people. Giving them in. And Tobiah sent many threatening letters to intimidate me. So there was constant letters going back and forth. So the enemy just doesn't attack once. He's going to come back over and over and over again. Why? Because he's waiting for you to slack off. He's waiting to catch you sleeping in the things of God. He's waiting for you to put your Bible down 2 or 3 days. He's waiting for you not to attend service anymore. He's waiting for you to stop praying. And then you shoot up a prayer on the way to work. Hopefully that works. He's waiting for you to slack off. And then when you slack off, the onslaught of the enemy comes. And before you know it, he fills your mind with all these unclean things. And all of a sudden, you start thinking about your old past life and the sins of the world. And Satan begins to pull you back. Why? Because you slacked off in prayer. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be watchful, be alert, because the devil, your enemy, walks around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that your brothers are going through the same experience in the world. The apostle Peter gave us the key. Be alert and watchful. Don't sleep on the enemy, because if you sleep on him, he's going to take that opportunity. Many people, like the guy who led me to Christ, powerful guy. Every time we prayed, he always sent something in the Holy Spirit that God was showing him, and it was right on. This guy was prophetic. He told me when I first got saved, you got to pray an hour a day. That's the type of relationship he had with God. I said, wow, an hour a day, that's a lot. He said, don't worry, as your relationship with God grows and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that hour will go by quick. He was absolutely right. So the guy who led me to Christ started going to college. And now he's going to college and he's slacking off in prayer. And now the woman in college, when are we going to go hang out in my apartment? When are we going to chill? Because nowadays the ladies will let you know when we're going to hang out. Before, the guys had to come up with that. Now the girls are aggressive as well. And little by little, because he slacked off in prayer, he started going to clubs. He started messing around with women. He started, you know, just going back to his old ways, to the point that he would get in fights in clubs and that the bouncers had to tell him, you're not allowed to come into this club anymore. The guy who led me to Christ, a powerful man of God, he reconciled with the Lord. Right now, he's in Brooklyn, reconciled with the Lord, but he contracted Lou Gehrig's disease. He can't move or anything. See the price that costs from turning away from God and playing with the devil? His soul is going to be saved because salvation is in your spirit. But his body, he can't move. He can't do anything. You know, we pray for him for healing and all that, but don't mess with the enemy. You give him an opportunity, he's going to take it and you'll end up somewhere in a wheelchair or something. He'll mess with you. But you young people that are having sex, be careful because you'll end up with an STD. And I'm not telling you to scare you. The devil won't miss an opportunity. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He is not your friend. You're not just having fun. He'll destroy your life with things like this. He'll take every opportunity you give him. So the key for us as believers is to stay alert and watchful all the time. And a lot of people, it's amazing. They take a spiritual vacation. They go away for a week or for a weekend. They come back more backslidden than before they left. In other words, they went to California, Florida, and Jesus stood here in Putnam County. Over there, they were partying and rides and all. They didn't pray. They didn't read the word. They weren't seeking God. What nonsense is that? Don't you think Satan is over there waiting for them? Come on vacation. Believe God. You don't take a spiritual vacation. Even when you go with your family on vacation, you still pray. You still meditate upon that word. And you do that, God's going to use you, as he did me when I went to Puerto Rico, led a guy on the beach to Christ. Always stay alert. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. The devil does not sleep. Demons don't take breaks. They want to steal, kill, and destroy humanity. We have to be more alert as the church of Jesus Christ. Why don't we stand as we close?